doing? This is Mike for Mike's Random Thoughts. So this is a look into smart cities. Now, I want to put up a disclaimer. I'm not that big of a techie type of person. So some of the punctuation might be off on my notes. The other issue I'm having is the ink that I use was kind of runny. And at the time, it was the only pen I have. So guys, just bear with me as I get right into this research material, okay? So smart cities are considered smart in two different ways, that they govern and harness the technology that is to monitor, analyze, and plan and govern the smart cities. Now, these type of cities, they actually share your data. Now, this isn't limited to just the city government, though. This also includes the businesses and the citizens, as well as, and this is crucial to understand, third parties that actually benefit from the use of the data as well. Now, they say that sharing this data will actually create opportunities for understanding the economic benefits of the city as it grows. Now, the concept of a smart city, it actually uses ICT, which is information different physical devices. Now, these ICT, or Internet of Things, IoT, these network to optimize the city operations and services that connect to the city citizens. Now, these cities naturally actually allow the city officials to actually interact directly with the citizens and the city infrastructure. They actually monitor and what's going on within the city, as well as monitor how the city is actually evolving, basically at the same time. Now, ICT will actually be used to induce quality, performance, and interactivity with the urban services they offer, which they will be like introducing. This would, and they also monitor the resource consumption as well. Now, they do this to help increase the, to increase the connection between the city citizens and the government. So they want to, their city, they're, basically what they're saying is, they're sharing all of this data, especially the urban services that they're offering. And they're doing this to actually increase the connection between the city government and the city and the citizens of the city. So they're saying that they're going to be able to interact together more efficiently. So many cities have actually begun using some sort of the smart city technologies already. And I found this out. We're going to get into this as this goes on, because there's a lot of them that's already in play. And you actually might be living in one of those cities or areas that have some of these in it already. So, Deakin, he actually lists four different factors, okay, that contribute to the definition, bear with me, hold on, of a smart city. Now, these are actually, number one, application of a wide range of electronics as well as digital technologies to the communities and the city, and cities. Now, number two is use of ICT, which transform life and working environments in the region. Now, number three is embedding of information and communications technology in the government systems. Number four, territorialization of practice that brings ICT and people together, which enhance innovation as well as the knowledge that they will offer. Now, Deakin went on to say that smart cities, as well as one of the utilities, ICT, which meets the demands of the market. Now, the citizens of the smart city, which means the smart cities not only possess ICT technology, it also has implemented technology in a manner that will positively actually impact the communities. Hold on a second. Now, smart city citizens in a business cluster and within a region, they actually use different factors. And we're going to get into some of those right now. Number one is they make a more efficient use of physical infrastructure on the roads and the environments of the physical area or the physical data through AI or artificial intelligence and data analytics that will support a strong and healthy economic, social, and cultural development. Number two, the citizens engaging in a more efficiently in local government by the use of OI, which is open innovation, process and e-publication of electronic participation. Number three is learn to adapt and innovate, responding in a more efficiently and which will prompt to the changing circumstances by improving the intelligence of the city. Okay, now this will evolve towards a strong integration of all dimensions and the human intelligence in the city. Now the citizens will, the city's intelligence reside increasing in a more effectively combination of digital telecommunications network and embedding intelligence sensors and tags as which and the software. Sorry about that. That took a minute for me to get through. Now, these arms of intelligence in the smart cities have been demonstrated in three different ways. These ways are actually number one, orchestration of intelligence. Smart cities establish institutions and communities based on problem solving and different collaborations. Number two, empowerment intelligence. Smart cities provide open platforms, experimental facilities, and infrastructures. This is done in order to cluster innovations in certain districts. Already, Sweden, Hong Kong, Australia, and Ukraine have facilities utilizing these different platforms. And we're going to get into some of these later on. Number three, information intelligence. Smart cities infrastructure. The city is made of smart through real-time data collection. It will have analysts and predictive modeling across city districts. Amsterdam is already using this as we speak. IT is done through the following. Hold on. Number one, common IT infrastructure that is open to researchers and develop applications. Number two, wireless meters and devices which transmit information at point in real time. Number four, homes are provided with smart energy meters to become aware of citizens' energy consumption, which will also reduce energy usage later on. Number four, solar power garbage compactors, car recharging stations, and energy saving lamps, or street lights, mind you, if you're in America. Now, smart cities have been developed using the OSI model. Remember earlier we got into what that is, which is layer abstractions. Now, they are constructed by confining to the city's public infrastructure. Now, the city's application systems pass and collected data using three different layers. Number one, precipitation layer, where data is collected across the smart cities utilizing sensors. The data is collected using sensors such as cameras, RFID, or GPS positioning. Number two, network layers. Now, this is responsible for transmitting and collecting data from the participation layers. Number three, application layer. This is responsible for processing data that is received from the network layers. This layer will use its data into processing to make decisions into how to control the city's infrastructure, which is based on the data that is received. Now, let's look at some kind of like the frameworks here, right? So smart cities require a unique set of frameworks to realize that the focus areas of opportunity and innovation, which is central to the city's projects. Now, frameworks can be divided into different dimensions, or five different main dimensions. These include numerous related accessories of the smart city's development. Now, the technology. Naturally, they have been, Naturally, they actually have a department of technology. The different combination of technical infrastructures to interact to form the arrays of the smart city, or areas of the smart city. I have to use this yellow sheet if you're wondering, because like I said, this ink kind of bled through. I'm hoping you're with me. We're 9 minutes in. We're about to get to the good part in a minute. So the technologies are varying levels of interactions between human to technology systems. Now, number one is a digital city services, which is oriented infrastructures and required to connect to the individuals and devices into the smart city. It includes innovation services and communication infrastructure. Now, two, the U-City. This provides access to the public services through any connected devices, also called U-City. It is an extension of the digital city concept that we just went over. And if you're wondering, these are different city definition concepts that I came over into the discovered into the research material. So number three, they call this the wired city. Now, this has wire components of IT systems, which are very crucial, okay, to the early stages of the smart city development already. Now, the wired infrastructure is required to support wireless technologies, which is central to the more interconnected living within a city. Now, four, hybrid or hybrid cities. It is the combinations of physical, combination of virtual cities, which is related to the physical space. Number five, information city. Now, this city, interactive devices in a smart city, which generates a large quantity of data. How that data is implemented and stored is crucial to the smart city growth and the security. Now, we're going to, hold on a sec, let me see this already. The human part. Now, the human framework of a smart city is knowledge networks as well as human support systems. This is an important indicator of the city's success, meaning how the humans are interacting within the city and all the artificial intelligence and different frameworks of the city. If we're happy, the city's happy kind of thing. You know what I mean? It's an indicator of how the cities are actually functioning, if it's successful or not. Because if we're unhappy, then that means the cities naturally are unhappy. That's what it's trying to say. So number one, creativity. This is the human part of it, the human or human L city framework. Number one, creativity, arts and culture. The arts and culture innovations, art is actually a common focus within smart city planning already, if you think about that, like graphic arts and etc. So number two, learning. A smart city learning its capacity includes its education systems and available workforce framing and support its cultural development and exchange. Number three, humanity. Now, it saws infrastructure development, increasing access to the voluntarily organizations and designated safe zones. Focus on social and relations capital, meaning diversity, inclusions, access to public services. Number four, knowledge. The knowledge economy, which is central to the smart city projects. Number five, energy. Now, smart cities use data and technologies to create efficiencies and improving sustainability and create economic development, which enhances quality of life factors for people living and working within the smart cities. Now, smart cities are an urban area that is secured integrated technologies across the information and Internet of Things, or IoT. And now, sectors to be better managed and cities' assets. They really monitor the urban areas, and a lot of the research I noticed when it came down to urban, there's a lot of monitoring that goes on, and they want to understand how happy everybody is within those type of cities, and that's like the city factors is what I'm assuming. So data management. Smart cities employ a combination of data collection, processing, in dismantling technology and data securing and privacy measures, encouraging an application of innovation and promote the overall quality of life for its citizens, covering and utilizing health, transportation and entertainment and governmental services. PPT, or people, process and technologies. They have three different principles of a smart city and initiatives. Cities must study their citizens and communities to know the process and the business drivers to create policies and objectivities to meet the citizens' needs. Once done, technology can be implemented to the citizens' needs in order to improve the quality of life to create a real economic opportunities. Okay. So, right now, I'm going to go into some bonus features. Let me explain it. A lot for my new listeners, I attach bonus features, which is clips and stuff. Now, some of these clips, they don't get included, but yet I feel like they're worth going over due to the fact of how good they were. And there's numerous different reasons why I might not include them in a finished product of this episode or this special, because there will be different parts to this. This is part number one. There will be part number two, and so on and so on until I'm done with it. And there's a lot of clips that will be included, kind of like a mini documentary, if you will. But some of them don't make the cut for whatever reason I decide what that might be. So I'm about to go over some of those bonus features, okay? Which is something I always like to do. And I do this so that my listeners and readers know different reference points to what we've been discussing so far and what I plan to discuss later, because I do plan on doing a live episode later on. So I'm going to go into some of those right now, as I said. Now, I've been saying from the start, I actually want to show pros and cons of the so-called smart cities. Now, I do this because I actually have children, and my oldest son, he's more of a techie type of kid, as a lot of our kids are. You know what I'm saying? He's into the games and all that phone stuff and tablets and so on and so on. He's like, Dad, don't make this just technology bad, you know, blah, blah, blah. Have some good examples too. So I am going to go over some pros and some cons, as I always do. Now, however, let's get into some of those right now. So according to Klaus Schwab, the ideal city is a 15-minute city design. Now, what does that actually entail? What is that exactly that it entails, right? Well, the WEF actually says that, number one, you'll actually never leave your house or your community because you simply will not have any need to whatsoever. Everything that you need will be within the 15-minute zone. Also, number two, which is a big factor all the way around, and you're going to learn that as we go along, no vehicles will be allowed. Number three, everything is within the community. Now, everything is digitalized naturally. The concept is actually already being used in different places, such as Barcelona, Spain, Melbourne, Australia, Paris, France, Milan, and Toronto. Now, just as well as people are actually already protesting in Europe over the city's designs and the city's different ordinances that these designs actually have, such as in Oxford, England, where 90% of the actual residences actually voted against the design. But go figure, however, the city's leaders, well, they said they're currently trying to move forward with the designs anyways. What's their justification for going against what their city citizens actually voted for? Meaning they said, 90%, remember, said, we don't want it. What's their justification for this? Well, they say that the local and mainstream media and the city governments are saying that the protesters, get ready for it, because you probably already know the answer, right, are nothing more than conspiracy theorists who actually believe the information that is false that they have found online in different social media sites that have created their false beliefs about smart cities. They have false beliefs. They simply don't understand because they're getting all their information from bad resources. So you've heard me say often, like, if you know me offline, you've heard me already talking about C40 cities, and there's going to be a big reason for that, and you're about to find out why. Because C40 cities, that's like the 15-minute city on steroids. But what is a C40 city, and why am I so excited to tell you about it? Because it's a terrible design, but a lot of people are already getting on board as far as your city leaders. So the goal of a C40 city is actually to eradicate all vehicles completely, basically altogether. Now, the city leaders that are actually leading in C40 cities actually say they must eradicate personal vehicle ownership to help with global warming. So it turns out that there's actually a division of mayors, and this division of mayors' sole job is actually legalize all the legislation that supports the climate change policies to actually move forward. Now, these mayors, it turns out, are actually from different countries. So this just isn't a America thing or just an Australia thing. No. These mayors are from all different countries. And their sole job, basically, is to move forward with the climate stuff that they want, such as at Davos that they discuss and everything. Now, one city already has... one city's already have this concept going on. Now, one city their mayors basically want to, their measures to actually charge the city citizens a lot of money basically to drive on the city streets. And this is actually in Europe. Basically what's going on is if you're living in Oklahoma, think of the turnpike system, how we have to pay to go on the certain roads. You don't have to pay for all the roads, but the turnpike roads you have to pay for. That's essentially what this is, but it's a whole lot more money to where the most common person, they're simply not going to be able to afford it. Now, Jordan Peterson had some great stuff to say about the C40. Now, he went on talking about the C40 design, and he said that they basically want to reduce the calorie consumption of citizens as well to 2,500 calories a day, basically by force. Now, they want citizens to only fly once every 3 years. Their goal is to basically eliminate 100% of private car ownership. Now, basically, we are already halfway to a 100% digitalized city already. Like, they're basically what the digitalized cities, all the smart cities want to imply, we're halfway there if you think about it already. But you really got to sit there and actually think about it. And they're doing this with RFID chip cards that we all carry around in our wallet. Now we can just touch stuff. I do it. I'm sure you do it as well if you have one of those cards. Anyways, digital bank, and we also have digital banking already. And that's two very crucial things to understand, and we're about to find out why. So get this. They already want to put expiration dates on your money's availability, okay? Now, this process is already being tried and done in the country of China, okay? Now, what they're doing is they force you to spend your money completely. So they do this in times of recession. So basically what happens is if you don't spend your money by the expiration date that they give you, they simply take your money away from you. That those funds that you had will no longer be available by the expiration date if you don't use it. Now, in opposite times of their government, meaning in, you know, they can actually implement different policies in the opposite of way to force you to save money and to force you to spend money. They could do this in two different ways. And the process is, like I said, has already been done in different areas of China. Now, one of the best actual clips I actually found on describing, going back to the 15-minute city, because that's what majority of people know about, is this guy used a chicken coop, all right? Now, residents, he said, they're not locked in the city if you think about it, okay? But yet, they stay there. They are free to go as they wish, but they choose not to. However, why is that? Now, he walks farther into this chicken coop, and he said that they basically have, you have a water bowl, you have your feeding bowl, you own nothing, essentially, but yet you're happy because your basic needs are being met, which actually makes you content with your situation. Now, he said you can see how happy they actually are by how many eggs they're producing. He said, and this is a good thing because I could take away everything that they are producing, and they will keep producing even more. Now, in a 15-minute community, he said, there's not many variation choices of housing, and there's not really any need to. They're basically all going to be the same. And now, again, as long as you're meeting their basic needs, they will keep producing. He said, they can actually come and go as they please. He said, but once they get to the edge of the road, the world is simply becomes too noisy and too scary for them. And they choose never to leave. They choose to stay in the familiar housing where their basic needs are being met. So basically, essentially what he's saying is they can choose to go across the road if they choose to. But if they do, they'll lose or have the chance to lose all their basic needs that's already being met. You know, they have their housing, they're warm, they have all their food, their water, everything they need to make them happy is right there. But they're like, why risk losing all of that when I have all of that already? Just on the off chance of wondering, when you already have this, that's the logic that he's saying that they basically will essentially have. And if you think about it, I think he's right. If you think about how majority of people actually are. So let's look a little bit more into the C40 cities. Now, how it evolves, okay, and look into how it evolves two very well cities already, okay? Now, that is New York City and London. You heard that right. Two of the biggest cities when you travel. Like, if you travel a lot, you're going to know New York City and you're going to know London, even if you haven't been there, because it's such a big traveling destination. Now, however, these city leaders have actually pledged to reduce food COT emissions by 33% until 2030, meaning they're already doing it, and they're going to keep producing policies that will be successful until 2030, and they're going to see where they're at. Now, they will actually remove, they have plans to remove meat and eggs and replace them with plant-based alternatives. Okay, so basically they're going to either become, your meat and eggs will either become extremely expensive to where the basic person is not going to be able to afford them, and you're only going to be able to afford the basic plant-based alternatives that is affordable. That's basically how they're going to do this. That's what I think they're going to end up doing anyways. So they also took a meat reduction pledge, okay? Now, the C40 city mayors, all of them have to take this pledge. If you look into the nutrition before the 1950s, however, things like cancer, they hardly ever existed. So what actually happened, right? Upon doing research, I looked across some different nutrition articles that nutritionists said, and I came across some interesting facts. Nutrition basically drastically changed, and diets became a major part of the social fads around the late 1950s. Now, almost all of the nutrition, however, and diseases such as diabetes actually have to do with our sugar consumption. You see, sugar consumption has actually risen to more than 100 pounds of sugar a year. Now, this is only half of it, however. Due to all the carbohydrates and foods, when digested, they actually turn into sugar as well. Okay, now, even if they're actual whole grain, they'll still be digested and turned into sugar in the body. Now, this actually causes the body to increase insulin production, which actually will turn into fat cells. So you need to remember that plant-based food is based on carbohydrates. Therefore, once digested, they are converted into sugars, and the bodies are made, our bodies basically are made by protein and cholesterol. Now, the body actually needs these two things to actually function. This is why plant-based diets can be so dangerous long-term. You notice I said the word long-term. Now, meat-based diets, they actually help in making your body stronger and healthier. Okay, now almost all have reported becoming stronger and less sicker, as well as healthier and mentally sharper on a high meat-based diet, if not completely meat-based diet. Now, let's get back to the point at hand, okay? Why I wanted to include that. See, if globalists, they remove meat-based protein, it will, in theory, actually lead to an epidemic, right, of sick and degenerative people. Now, people will eventually also lose the ability to reproduce. Also, veggie-based and artificial lab-grown meat is a more cost-effective and form of food production for globalist leaders. They basically feel like they can engineer food that will last forever. And it's actually similar. It turns out upon the research material, it's very similar to MREs. And you basically, the reason why they like it is you can prepare it without cooking, and it can actually be stored without refrigeration. And they claim that you won't need appliances to cook or produce or store the food, which simply, basically, to them, those things are outdated, and it uses way too much energy. We can just chemically engineer food that will last forever, and we get all your nutrition from this chemical engineered food, and you won't need things like refrigeration or stoves or baking or anything like that. You won't need for it. I mean, it's just not modern. And this is literally the language that these people were using in these different meetings. So, the good and bad examples I was talking about before, right? So smart cameras can actually detect if in smoke prohibited zones, okay? Now, this is actually already being used in areas of China, Asia. They basically justify using them for this measure. They say that it will be used in an effort to help in global warming and in general population health. To meet this is actually a bad thing. To me, this is actually a bad thing. Sorry about that. Straight out of, like, basically Orwell. Okay, they basically will be able to, these cameras can detect whenever you're smoking in a prohibited zone, and they will send you a fine to your bank. You know, because everything digitalized, remember that? So you get caught, and bam, they say that the fine is, like, sent to your bank and stuff like that, automatic. Because you were doing this in a prohibited zone where you're not supposed to be smoking at. Now, smart street lights that dim and bright. Now, you've heard, before I go into too much about this, let me just say this. We have heard so much conspiracy theories about these purple lights. You can go on and on for days about it. How they're this and how they're that. I wanted to look into what they actually are. It turns out, folks, they're actually not as bad as what people are trying to say, okay? Now, why do I say that? Well, we're about to find out. They actually dim and brighten depending on the traffic activity. To me, this is actually a good thing. Drivers report that it's actually easier on their eyes and whenever they're driving already because of how the whatever level of lighting it is, because it looks purplish. They say that it's actually more easier on their eyes while they're driving and is saving on energy because it's coming on and off. And let's face it, man, if you're in a metropolitan city, those lights aren't dimming. Traffic is going constantly. So those lights are just staying lit. Okay. Let me just throw that factor out there. Now, however, let's look at some other things. Parking sensors, okay? If you have a parking app, they said, it will notify you of the best parking spots available to whatever destination you're driving to. To me, that's an awesome thing, okay? Think about it. If you're living in a city, and I remember, you know, because that's what I grew up in, was cities. And to me, let's think Sacramento. You're getting ready to go to an appointment. You're getting ready to go to a concert or a game or something like that. We all know what a pain it is to find a good parking spot, especially in the Bay Area. And, you know, it's just a pain all the way around. So this app actually makes it easier because it's going to notify you where to go to and where the best parking spot is. That's a win-win. There's no bad part about that to me. And I don't understand why some of these people were saying that it's a bad thing, other than they don't want people to know where they're driving to. That's the only thing I can think of. Other than that, I mean, because it seemed like it was a win-win. You know what I'm saying? Find the cheapest parking spot and the most available one, so you won't have to drive around anymore. So anyways, again, going back to the garbage systems that they were talking about, some of these actually have a vacuum network system that will be underground for the trash to be in, like, it's an automatic system. So basically, think of a bank, you know, when your money comes through on those tubes. It was very similar to that. They showed a person just dropping off their trash into, like, this, like, almost mailbox size thing, and it just basically drops and it shoots into this underground storage system. Okay, and it's like an automatic trash system, and it's stored somewhere underground. Now, I got to say right off the bat, to me, I think that's a good thing. Now, that was my research with y'all. I'm going to get into some free thought here. So we've gone into some pros and cons. Later on in the research material, you're going to see some of the smart city layouts, and you're going to hear people talking about the good aspects and the bad aspects of it. I wanted to include both, like I said. And you can see from the research material that we just went over, there are some good things and there are some bad things, but there's so much more to say. This is a subject matter that, honestly, there's just not enough time to go over it in just one podcast episode. I mean, it's just too vast of a subject. There are so many different designs going on. Bill Gates has one being built. The old Walmart CEO, they have one being built. I'm going to add the bonus features. I'm going to add those clips so you guys can actually see those city designs for yourself. And along with numerous other ones, you're going to hear TED Talks. You're going to hear numerous different news segments about it. I'm going to include it all. So you're going to have a full scope of what a smart city is, what they're talking about, what we've been talking about, because that's the reason why I include the bonus features in the first place. I like my readers and listeners and viewers. I like you guys to basically have a reference point of what we were talking about. So whatever you heard me talking about, you guys can watch the bonus features and see it for yourself. Because there's so much more that I wasn't able to say. You know what I mean? It would just be too much to write out. And that's why I started doing the bonus features in the first place. So let's hope for the best, meaning that I don't get into trouble with the powers that be on Google and all that stuff. You know what I mean? But there is a lot to show, and there's a lot to get into. And like I said, there's goods and bad. Like the parking spot thing, I think that's an amazing thing. The garbage thing underground, with the exception of there is an environmentalist that rose up a good point. They said, hey, you know, what's to say about how long to store it in the ground before it becomes toxic? What did they do with it? What's this in the ground? Because they're saying that it's going to reduce global warming, it's going to reduce smells, it's going to reduce noise pollution, and it's going to be an overall better system. And I got to say, from what I saw, it looked pretty cool. And a lot of these digital cities, I mean, honestly, they have some really cool features in them. But here's my issue with a lot of this tech. And I have been against, like, just like we talked about in the artificial intelligence episode, I have been against a lot of this tech stuff from Jump Street. I'm talking since middle school. I was complaining about the automatic air dryers that you dry your hands with when I was like in fourth grade. I was living in England when I first saw one. And I remember looking at my dad complaining about, are people too lazy to press the button? Like, why do we have to go and there's like a sensor there, you know, kind of thing. So there's good and there's bad to it. But, you know, honestly, with a lot of this technology, it's requiring certain things that is turning out is bad for our health. A lot of it could be cancer-producing things as well. So there's some really awesome concepts that's being thrown around out there. However, is it going to be bad for our general health long-term? Because, yeah, it looks good short-term and it's exciting. But long-term is what I worry about. I got kids. You know what I'm saying? Am I going to have to worry about any type of health effects coming from all the sensors and the technology things within the framework of the city? Because a lot of the technology that we're using every single day, they're saying can produce a lot of different health problems. And that includes our diet, like what they're talking about. So what are they going to do to fix those problems would be my arguing question. Other than that, yeah, a lot of it, and I'm going to show you guys, a lot of it does look cool. But then again, there's always more to it than what they're showing. You get what I'm saying? So yeah, it does sound great on paper, but what's going to be the long-term factor here? That's what I want to find out. And I'm sure that's what you're going to want to find out. And that's why I included the bonus features in the first place. Now, I know before I conclude this episode, I know that it's been a while since I started doing regular podcast episodes. And I know it's been a while since I've appeared on other people's shows. And from what I've seen, it's been hit and miss as far as people even I know that's fellow podcasters whenever they do shows. However, yes, I do plan on jumping on panels. I'm trying to figure out how I'm going to accomplish that, though, because it's something I really want to do naturally. Also, just throwing it out there, I'm going to reach out to Malice as soon as I get done producing this and the bonus features. So as soon as you guys see that pop up on YouTube and on my audio podcast on my Spotify account, because I also have Spotify. So once you guys see all of that, this episode and the bonus features fully produced, you guys can expect a live episode. At least I'm gonna reach out to Malice and see if we can do a live episode where we're going to talk about the smart cities. And I want to see what he has to say about it. Because like I said, even the research material, it showed that Melbourne, which is where he's at, there's a section in Melbourne that's already using a lot of the digital and smart city factors. So I'm curious what he thinks about it. I'm also curious what everybody else thinks about it. What do you guys think about it? A lot of us are around the same age, if not older than myself. So how do you guys feel about it? Do you think it's too much, too fast? Do you guys think that it's awesome and we need to keep moving forward? I am generally curious what you guys think. And like I said, I grew up in Northern California, so I grew up in Technology Center. Okay, everything is techie back home. And you know, that's just what it is. Especially, I mean, if you're in California, you know what I'm talking about. Everything is just like New York City. everything is happening out there like that. It's just getting all digitalized. And for me, this is a good thing and a bad thing because I'm against the police state. You know, here's the thing. The 360 city layouts, like we went over in this bonus features, if you take a circle like this, okay, so this center right here, this is going to be your all your resources that they're talking about, okay? And there's going to be another circle, and this is going to be housing. But this is going to be for your, like, celebrities, your politicians, the people that basically can afford these high-tech houses, like Jetson-style houses that you keep hearing Bill Gates and Mark Zuckerberg and all these other people talk about. Then you're going to have this additional ring out here, okay? And this additional ring out here, this is going to be where all the basic people live at. And here's a danger zone of that, okay? And you're going to see this in the research material. I have every intention of putting it in the bonus features, okay? So you can see it for yourself. The bad part about that is that outer circle that we just saw, those are trailers. Have you seen those, like, evergreen trailers, shipping containers? Shipping containers, that's the word I was looking for, that they transform into offices or different businesses and things like that. Well, basically what's going on, and they already have this in Rio de Janeiro and other cities, is they're stacking them, Brazil, they're stacking them on top of each other, like dominoes or like Legos, like a lot of us have kids, so like Legos, just stacking them on top of each other. And they don't really have that great of AC, they're completely monitorized by camera systems, and they're not really free to go anywhere. And you don't have the great resources that the other people are having within the city. And that's just a fact. So, and interestingly enough, in that city I'm talking about, and you're gonna see it for yourself in a bonus features, he said that majority of the population is actually outsourced, meaning they're not even local residents. They're people that were brought in. So the people living in a center ring that I was talking about, they're actually people, scientists and doctors and, you know, all those great people for a smart city. They're living in that housing area. Meanwhile, everybody else is living here. Never forget, like I said numerous times on my podcast show, Davos 2 years ago and all these globalist leaders even recently, they had a nice little saying they like to say, which is, what are we going to do with the grazers? Now, what is a grazer? A grazer to them is somebody who is using resources, but they're not contributing to their smart city technology, you know, designs. You gotta understand, a lot of jobs are about to be gone. They're eliminating a good chunk of society as we know it. And it's not just American society, man. It's everyone, it's all of us across the globe. They're eliminating all kinds of jobs that they're basically ruling out as they don't need people for. You know, all of these people are demanding pay raises and all this other stuff. And corporations are responding to it by saying, okay, we're going to replace you with an automatic intelligence workforce. And people can speculate on this all they want to, but the truth of the matter is, they already have trial restaurants being ran by Yum Industries. I know for a fact Yum Industries is doing it, and other restaurants as well. And they're doing this in select locations across the globe. I believe there's one in Thailand, there's one in Germany, and there's one in Los Angeles somewhere. But it's supposedly digitalized. So you go in and everything's going to be like kiosk menus where you don't even talk to anybody. You know what I'm saying? And there's a robot, I guess, that goes across the countertop like this, back and forth. And basically all the kitchen staff have been replaced with different robotics as well. And these robots swivel around their station. So if you're in a restaurant world, okay, instead of having your fry cooks and your burger cooks and your prep cook and your dishwasher. I'm not sure if they replaced dishwashers yet. Let me just say that because of water. But I think they have it. I'm not sure. I don't want to say that for sure, so don't hold me to it. But I know for sure they already have their other areas of the restaurant replaced, including cashiers. They basically said at this one TED Talk, there's no need for them because everybody can be replaced with robots that don't need to be trained. All they need is programs. So all we need to hire is a programmer, IT repair person, two managers to handle cash, and that's it. Everybody else is gone. So you can say bye-bye to, like, here in America, And I know in Europe too, in certain areas, your summertime jobs that you get, you know, like whenever you're in high school, I'm going to go get a job at the burger spot, bro. I'm going to go get a job over here at the store so I can, you know, get some spending money kind of thing, you know. You can say bye-bye to that. They're gone. Or they're working on making them completely gone. If you work in warehouses, then I'm sure you're already familiar with the fact that they're replacing a lot of that with artificial intelligent robotics as well. If you're familiar with the 1980s, or 1990s, I should say, I guess, Detroit Automobile, they replace a lot of the mechanics with robotics as well. And they always do it for the same reason. People want too much money for what they're doing. So, and these world leaders, they're calling the people like us, the basic workers, the grunt workers of society, useless grazers that don't contribute to society. So we're going to have the bare minimum of what they can give us, okay? Think of districts, right? And your choices, remember I said they're going to have chemical engineered food? A lot of this food is going to be very basic. And I think that a lot of places, honestly, I was just at Walmart the other day, and I think you can already see it. You're going to have good, better, and etc. You know, you're going to have okay, good, and better, or best, or whatever, however they say it. And that's it on the packaging. And they say you're going to have everything you need. There's going to be, you know, why it's going to be like that. You know what I'm saying? What are you going to eat? I'm eating the better stuff. What are you eating? I'm eating the okay stuff. You get what I'm saying? Very much like that. So I would say caution to the smart city designs. Also, let me just say this. Some of them are really cool. The Oxford thing where the residents, they don't like it because you have to purchase to be able to drive on the roads. But it's not like, I said it's like turnpikes, and it is. But it's an outrageous amount of money to where the average citizen can't afford to drive on it for more than so long. And they're enforcing this, of course, through digitalized cars, your smart cars. Your old school cars don't really, they're not going to really be able to do that to those. But the newer cars with computer chips in it and wiring and all that stuff, that's where the money's at. That's where they can monitor where you're driving at, how much you're driven, and where you're driven, where you're going to. Because everything is GPS. I mean, if you're a truck driver, you know what I'm talking about. They got that box underneath, your boss does, and they're able to see everywhere you're going. So that's what that is. And that's why you see so many people against it. But what I found interesting, and I think the huge takeaway should be, is so high of a percentage of Oxford, 80% of the residents say, hey, we don't want this. And the city officials did it anyways and said, well, you guys just don't know what you want because you're believing stuff you're seeing on social media, which is false. I say that should be a very caution. There is a 1980s movie. What is that? Danger, danger, Roger, Roger, or something like that. Will Rogers, you know. That's what it is. It's danger, danger, because they want a totalitarian system, okay? Where everything is, your money is to be digitalized. They're already doing it in China. Like I said, to where they're forcing their residents, no, you have to spend this amount of money by this time period or you're going to lose it. You have to save your money by this amount or you're going to lose it. Totalitarian complete control. I can't emphasize this enough because I don't know how much more I'm going to talk about technology issues. I've already talked about so many of them off and on over the years on this show. And I get off and on responses to doing these episodes, to these specials. However, I want to emphasize that fully understand that they're using positive language with bad intentions. They'll say it's for inclusivity. They'll say it's for urban development. They'll say it's for peace and understanding and all this other stuff and economic growth. And really what it all is just complete control. They want to know how much you're spending. They want to know what you're eating. They want to know how you wake up. They want to know every fact about your life. At Davos, they kept saying it over and over again. People are comfortable. They share all their data with us already. We share our health data with them. We share our banking information with them. We share all our sensitive information with them. And that's what they kept bringing up over and over again. We're halfway there. That's what Peterson, by the way, meant by we're halfway to what they want already anyways. We just don't fully accept it. Majority of us don't want to believe it. But think about it. We have digitalized banking. We have chip impacted cards. You have to put your chip up there in some kind of way to be able to purchase anything. And everything is reported digitalized by the bank. Even our medical information, we record that onto different apps that we trust. And then those apps, whatever, you know, they do whatever with it, because there's always third party people, believe it or not. It's just a factor of life. But even though I've said all that, that's why I say caution. I think that us as people, we need to start doing what they're doing in Europe. And in Europe, they're demanding that their officials listen to them. That's what this whole protest thing is over, is all the different stuff that they want to include for global warming and their caps on growing, what they're allowed to grow and how much they're allowed to grow, how much they're able to keep, where they can sell, et cetera, et cetera. That's what all these protests are about, is they're against the totalitarian control. And that's what I keep emphasizing over and over again. Understand, at the end of the day, that this stuff to me is about a culture war, which in a culture war is not about race. It's not about anything else like that. It's about economic. It's about your economic situation. A culture war is about the rich versus the poor. And basically what they'll do is they use different social causes and social justification factors to basically cause division amongst its citizens. That's what all that is. I wanted to include that too. So like I said, you guys can expect more coming from this segment. I got a lot of bonus features. I'm about to try to develop all the bonus features so I can get this episode produced as fast as possible for you guys. So it'd be the whole series, this and the bonus features. Again, I'm going to reach out to Malice so we can try to do a live episode. And guess what? I already have my next special in mind. I'm not going to say too much, but I really, really, really want to. But just let me say, a lot of people are talking about it. People are claiming it. And nobody's allowed to travel there without permission. And this involves globally. So think globally. Nobody's allowed to go there without permission. And yet so many people are trying to claim it. And there's a lot of conspiracy theories around it. And I just really wanted to jump into it. So with that said, this has been Mike for Mike's Random Thoughts. I hope you guys enjoyed. I know it was a lot to take on. It was real choppy. Like I said, I'm not that techie of a person. So for me, a lot of the punctuation factors are probably off. And I'm sorry about that. As always, I did my best with that. Sometimes I don't say things the correct way. But I did my best at that. So you guys can expect the bonus features in this episode to be released here pretty soon. You guys can expect the next special coming right behind that. I'll do what I always do, which is I'll release a flyer or a trailer or something like that. Expect me to come around your show in the live panels, Dirty Water, like I told you last night. I hope to be able to jump on your show here pretty soon. And nothing, I've been seeing you're coming on live here pretty soon. And like I said, I'm planning on reaching out to Malice here pretty soon too. Everybody else that I forgot, you know, Sparky and everybody that's out there. There's just too many to name. You guys expect me to make my rounds here pretty soon when I see you guys going live again. This is Mike from Mike's Random Thoughts. This has been a look into smart cities. And you guys can expect my next special announcement to come here pretty soon. Everybody have a great night.